Amanda will come and bring Abby in. Thank you.
There you go.
Good morning. So today's reading is from Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse 1, and that's on page 1000 in the church Bibles. Page 1000, Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.' This is the word of the Lord."
Great. So, how many times did we get told that they were afraid? How many? Two or three times. Go on then. Go on, let's have a look.
The guards were so afraid of him that they shook.
So the guards were afraid, yeah? Then where else?
So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet full of joy.
And they were afraid, and then what does Jesus say to them?
Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid."
Do not be afraid. And there was one more. Did anyone see the other one? Did you see where the other one was? Did the angel say anything about not being afraid? Yeah. Hosanna got that one. So there was four times where we get told that they were not to be afraid. And we're going to be looking at that now. And let me just get up my sermon. Here we go. And let's pray, shall we, and ask for God's help as we look at this. Father God, thank you so much for this true story from the Bible. And we pray, Father, that even though it's a story that many of us heard before, encourages, warm our hearts as we wonder again at the resurrection of our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. So they were afraid. They were scared. I wonder what causes us to panic. Perhaps you lose your favourite toy. It might be a bear, it might be something else. Or you might have an exam looming, and that's something you perhaps be a bit scared about. Or you might have a difficult conversation coming up, perhaps with a family member or someone at work. There's lots of different things that we can be afraid about. Well, as we dig into the events of that morning, that first Easter Sunday morning, we discover that Jesus' tomb is empty and literally there's panic everywhere. Verse 4, the Roman guards are afraid. Verse 5, the women who had gone to the tomb were afraid. Verse 10, Jesus said to the women, "Do not be afraid." They were still scared as they were, even as they were hanging onto Jesus' feet. That first Easter Sunday morning was a morning of panic! But it didn't start that way, did it? Because actually, the women, as they're walking to the tomb, they're walking to Jesus' tomb, Jesus has been crucified, he died on the Friday, and the women's dreams and hopes, they were crushed. Can you imagine conversation would have been really hard, just because they'd have been, and as grief just would have come across them, as waves doing a seashore, time and time again. But then out of nowhere, this Verse 2, please look with me at verse 2. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven. So we don't get told, first of all, about Mary's reaction, the two Mary's reaction to this, but we get told about the hardened, tough Roman soldiers who were guarding Jesus' tomb. And they were there to ensure that, to supposedly ensure that Jesus remained in the tomb. But those soldiers panicked. And our first point this morning, they panicked. Verse 4. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Now, children, when you get scared, what might you do? What might you do? Adults can help as well. Just have to be the kids. What do you do when you get scared? Here, let me actually turn on this microphone. 1 second. Go on then. What do you do when you get scared?
Pray.
You pray. That is a good thing to do when you get scared. To be fair, that's not sometimes the first thing I do when I get scared, but that is a good thing to do. Anything else? Any other things that you do when you get scared? So put your hand up so I can bring the microphone to you. No, no. Is everyone so godly? Because when I get scared, I'm like this. Right, all these things you do when you get scared. But what do these guys do? The soldiers are shaking in their boots. It would have been scary. Verse 2 again. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. An angel of the Lord rocked up. I don't know about you, but when I sort of think of an angel, I might think of this. You know, on top of the Christmas tree. Or you might think of this. Perhaps in a painting or at a school nativity or something like that. But when a real angel of God appears, he is so strong that he can roll back the stone on a tomb, which would take 2 or 3 men to roll back. It's hard to look at because he's so dazzling white that he's like lightning. You don't just go when an angel of the Lord rocks up, "Oh, that's nice." Instead, you go, "Ah!" And we must remember, this isn't even God himself turning up. This is just a messenger of God turning up. So as we hear from God this morning about Jesus rising from the dead, yes, there should be joy, and we're going to come to that a bit later, and it is wonderful that Jesus is alive, and we'll get to that. But at one level, let's be honest, it is utterly terrifying. The God of the universe acting in our world to raise his son from the dead. That is huge. The earth literally moved. The soldiers knew it. And it's no wonder today that so many people today keep Jesus at arm's length because they want to avoid the panic of, if Jesus is real, that means he's going to get involved in my life and I'm going to have to do things differently and panic, and they want to keep him away. It was true that first Easter Sunday. It's still true today. It's earth-shattering when Jesus came. And next, the women also panicked, but they also listened as well. So now the angel speaks to the two Marys who have turned up. And verse 5, please look with me at verse 5. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified." Now, I'm pretty sure that was partially to do with the earthquake and the angel. But let me just read verse 5 again. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified." The women's fear was also to do with the fact that Jesus' body wasn't there. It was like, where is it? They'd been followers of Jesus. They'd heard his teaching. They'd seen his miracles. They'd experienced his compassion and love. And when they arrived at that tomb, they were expecting to find Jesus. They expected to find Jesus, the dead body. They knew it. The angel knew that's what they expected to find. But verse 6, what does the angel say? "He's not here." Now, those words are shocking enough. I mean, there's no body. What's happened? But then we get three little words that come next that literally change the world. "He has risen." And then, just in case we didn't get it, it's said again in verse 7, he has risen. That's the cry of that first Easter Sunday. And to help us get it, we've got some signs for everybody this morning. So, Hosania and Noah, do you mind coming? Just give me a hand, please. I would like, could you come and give the, could come and hand these out to everybody, please? So everyone has got a He Has Risen sign. All right? Just grab a few. And just help take some to all the adults. I think there's enough for everybody. If not, they can share as well. Go and hand them out. Can you go and hand them out, Hosanna? Is that all right? Great. There's a few more here. So we can all have a He is Risen sign. And children, some of the posters as well aren't coloured in. So during the next song, if you'd like to colour in a poster, you're very welcome as well. There's some pens on the table down there. So, whenever we hear this morning, Jesus is risen, I want us to wave our posters in the air. Can we all try? Everyone who's got one so far? There's more coming. Brilliant. So we're going to do a quick practice. Can we put on the next slide? Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Great. I know some of you are still waiting for your posters, but they are coming. Honest. Great. Well, Jesus beating death, and therefore making eternal life with Jesus possible for us, there's nothing more important that can happen in the whole world. I mean, a cure for cancer would be great, wouldn't it? But Jesus beating death is even more important. Stopping the wars that are going on would be fantastic. But again, Jesus beating death is even more important. Ensuring no one went hungry would be marvellous. Jesus beating death is way bigger. And Jesus, one day, we get told elsewhere in the Bible, will sort out cancer and hunger and all the wars. But first, he has to beat death first. It is way bigger. And because that's such a big deal, the angel goes on to say more. And as we listen, remember your posters, because there might be some words that you need to hold a poster up for. He is not here. He is risen. Jesus, just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead. And he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. The angel saying, remember. There's a gentle little telling off there, isn't there? As he said, as Jesus said, you should have remembered this, guys. But it was a gentle one. There's then look at the empty spot where Jesus' body laid. He ain't there. But there's also a plan as well. There's a plan. Go, you're going to go and see him in Galilee. You're going to see Jesus yourself. You see, the resurrection wasn't some sort of trick, magic trick, or something to entertain us for a few moments. It happened, and it has consequences. And the angel's final words are a little bit odd. I'm just going to read verse 7 again. You're doing a great job there. Verse 7, it says, then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead, and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. You sort of think, why has he said that? Of course he's told them. It's just, why does he say that to them? And it's as if the angel is saying, yes, all this is very shocking, but it's happened. And are you listening? Are you going to act upon what you've just seen and what you've just heard? What are you going to do next? And we get the answer in verse 8, don't we? So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. The women, they were still panicking, but they were now joyful as well. And they were listening, and they were acting. Jesus has risen. They listened, and they acted. And the question is, what are we going to do? How are we going to listen to God's messenger? To the risen Jesus, to God himself. Jesus has risen. There is nothing more important in the whole wide world. But the women didn't just listen and run, because they also worshipped as well, and our third point. The women panicked, but they also worshipped. Please look with me at verse 9. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Now, whoa, talk about another shock and a half. But before we continue, I just want you to imagine, if you were Jesus, at this point, appearing to the two Marys, what might you say to them as your opening words? You know what I mean? You might say, "Hey, it's me, Jesus." Or, "Be cool." Or, "I'm alive." Any other options? Anyone got any other options? You might say if you were Jesus and you were talking to those Marys. Any other thoughts what you might say? Sorry, got what was said over there? Ta-da! Any others?
Told you so.
Told you so. Go, there you go. Go, Noah.
Easy.
Easy. Easy peasy. Yeah, great. But what does Jesus say? Verse 9. He says, "Greetings." You know what I mean? That could have been translated as, "Hello." Talk about masterly understatement. And then, how might you expect the two Marys to react when Jesus rocks up and says hello? You know what I mean? They might just faint like the soldiers did earlier. I wouldn't be surprised if they'd done that. They might run around going a bit mad. Ah, what's going on? It really would have been shocking, guys. They might have just been asking questions galore. Jesus, how did this happen? What? And you others, what else might, what, if you'd been those two women, what else might have you said if Jesus walked up and said hello? Any other options? Oh, here you go, Noah.
Hi.
Hi. He'd have just been cool. Sorry. Hi. He would have been just cool back. Yeah? Any others? No. Oh, go on then. Ghost. Yeah? Ghost. Because he'd have been like, what's going on here? Totally out of this world. But what do they do, verse 9? Let me read this again. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. They approached Jesus. They knelt down, and they worshipped. This is no ghost. Yes, verse 10 tells us that they're still afraid. Of course they are. But they're mixed up human beings, aren't we all? You can have more than one emotion at the same time. But their main response was to humble themselves, to admire Jesus, to just recognize how brilliant he is, to delight in him, to worship him. Surely a massive pointer to us as we're confronted yet again with the empty tomb this morning. And yes, thinking about that, the fact that Jesus beat death and is alive today is confronting. It may cause panic to rise within and a whole bunch of emotions. Perhaps you're thinking of thankfulness or love or awe or bemusement. But as we meet the risen Jesus, the right response is what Mary's did, to worship him, to adore him. Now, it's possible that some of us here today may not yet be Christians. You may be thinking, well, I haven't seen Jesus alive and kicking like those two Marys have. And well, if that's you, you're most welcome. It's a great Sunday to be with us. But coming back to this seeing Jesus thing, you know what? I haven't seen Jesus like the two Marys. I don't know of a single Christian who is alive today who has seen Jesus like the two Marys did. But I have met him. Or to put it much better, he has met me. And many people here today would say the very same thing. Jesus has met them. But it is on Jesus' terms, not our terms. You know what I mean? The risen Jesus, he could have walked up and walked with the two Marys towards the tomb. He could have been waiting outside with the angel. He could have shown up to them at any point. But he didn't. He turned up when he was right to turn up. For them and for us. And you mind, Jesus could rock up this morning here at Cornerstone. In this very hall. And we could all say, we've seen Jesus with our own eyes. But if he did do that, as Jesus promised elsewhere, the world would end as well. So he could turn up, but then that's it. The world would be ending. Because that's what he said is going to happen. So Jesus meets us on his terms. He met them on his terms. He meets us on his terms. And Jesus tells us that the place to meet him today, fundamentally, is as we listen to Jesus' words from the Bible. And the alive and kicking Jesus, he takes those words and he plants them in our hearts and our minds. And we can say hand on heart, I have met Jesus. And that's always true. Sometimes we'll feel it, sometimes we won't. But there will be times when Jesus reassures our very soul, he is there. And our response? To worship. Yes, on Easter Sunday, but every day. One last time. Please. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we're so used to the idea of Jesus rising from the dead that we so quickly lose our awe and wonder and our worship of him in doing so. Thank you, Father, that the resurrection was so confronting to those two Marys and to others when Jesus first rose, that first Easter. And we pray, Father, that you'll confront us again with the risen Lord and put him in the place in our life where he truly deserves as our Lord, Saviour and friend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sorry, I just got to flick through all these slides to get to the right spot. Well, as Jesus is risen, you're going to be quick, they're still needed. All right? And Jesus tells us this at the end of Matthew 28, as he's talking to his disciples when he meets them in Galilee, the last thing he says to them, I surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.